the best local sports talk in the Flower City. One Bills Live and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
I love this story, House, how Sean Payton, when everybody's coming back from Monday and the Saints had a little time off with that bye, that would grab your attention if you saw over $200,000 in cash sitting there. I've never seen that much in person. We've all seen it on television and everything. I've never seen that much in person,
though. I watch the poker shows all the time. Yeah. When they have the World Series of Poker, they'll put that $10 million out there. You know, it makes a difference.
Our guest, we had him on. Do you remember that game, Saints-Bills? That was the one where the Saints came in and they ran all over us. And, boy, that led to Tyrod Taylor's benching. There was a naked guy running on the field. It was not a good afternoon. But Christian Garrick was on with us that week. Christian, I appreciate your time. He is the pre- and post-game host on our sister station, WWL, in New Orleans. Christian, have you ever seen over $200,000 cash in person?
No chance. Look, the most I've maybe had in my hand at one time that was actual cash, maybe a couple $1,000s, so nowhere close to $200,000.
Yeah, the only time you usually deal with that kind of money is when you're either buying or selling a house and you're writing checks.
But it doesn't feel the same.
No, it doesn't, no.
Doesn't feel the same way. Yeah. I mean, it's funny how in this day and age of the hot offensive coordinator and, you know, young, bright minds, you got Sean Payton. Everybody says McDaniel. I mean, does Sean Payton almost get overlooked for the job that he's done down there in New Orleans, Christian?
That's a good question. I know down here he's certainly not overlooked. He's a god. He's revered down here. But nationally, perhaps, I think that's a fair statement. But, I think that today's NFL, and you're seeing all these young offensive-minded coaches, I think that is the absolute effect of Sean McVay in Los Angeles with the Rams. Everybody's trying to find that young quarterback and get that young coach to bring along that young quarterback. And if I'm a defensive guy, I'm a little discouraged because there's not a lot of defensive coordinators aside from Vic Fangio that got hired on the open market when there was 8 jobs available. And one in particular, Greg Williams, who I thought did a fantastic job in Cleveland as an interim coach, didn't get an opportunity to lead that organization on the long term. So, I just think it's the way it goes. Look at the Browns coach. He started out the year as running back coach. Now he's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, no question. Christian Garrick from WWL, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Let's turn our attention to this week's game. The Saints handing the Eagles a 41-point defeat back in Week 11. That was a different Eagle team. That was Carson Wentz. You can't expect the same thing, but what kind of adjustments do you expect this time around from Philadelphia, Christian?
Well, they're a little healthier, and that certainly plays a role. But look, what I would tell you is that if I'm an Eagles fan, I would be nervous about a few things. Aside from the talent on the field that the Saints are going to put in the Superdome, it's the idea that you're playing, out of the last 6 weeks, this is your fifth road game in the last 6 weeks, all right? And you've been in this playoff mode for about a month now. And every player that I've ever talked to, either current or past, has all said that mindset and those factors of being on the road so frequently eventually catches up to you. It just does. Now, their adjustments, Darren Sproles is back in the lineup. He presents some problems. The Saints secondary has been their Achilles heel all year long. So, and it looks like Nick Foles is taking the football down the field a little bit more with Alshon Jeffrey than Carson Wentz was. So I think they're going to try to take their shot at the Saints secondary that's been leaky this year. And I think they're going to try to get after Drew Brees. Look, they protected Nick Foles really, really well against Chicago's pass rush, which I think is the best, one of the best, if not the best in the NFL. And the Saints have a very good pass rush as well. And if they can neutralize Cam Jordan and the Saints pass rush, they'll make some money.
You pointed out that the Eagles have played so many road games now since the past few weeks, and they're heading into what I think is maybe the best home field advantage in the NFL. People talk about Kansas City. We are pretty proud here in Western New York that the Bills have a pretty good home field advantage. But that Superdome and those folks in New Orleans, I've been to events in New Orleans. I've been to the Superdome for 3 different Super Bowls. And even during, maybe even more so during a regular season or playoff game, there is a unique aspect to people who live in New Orleans. And when you combine it with that building, and when you combine it with the playoffs, I believe that it's a home field advantage that you just can't beat.
Say that again, because that was on the money. I mean, look, it's just this football team to this community, it's their life. It means so much to them. And in the playoffs, I mean, they're already loud and crazy in the regular season, but when they get a home playoff game, that place is insane. I mean, it is nuts. I was a sideline reporter for 9 seasons, and when they're winning and then there's a big stakes game, it's every bit as intimidating as Arrowhead. It's every bit as intimidating as in Seattle. And they just know they're smart fans. They know when to make noise. They know how to make noise. And it's a constant wall of noise. I mean, it just I can tell you from calling games in that building, being on the field. I walked out of there at times, out of the Superdome after the game for hours. I could still hear the roar of that crowd. That's how vocal they are. And look, it's a 3:40 kickoff. New Orleans, we don't just sit around on Sunday. Well, if you give us a few extra hours, you know, the fans are going to get nice and lubed up and, sure, and be ready to go.
And did I see a stat here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the Saints have not lost in the Superdome in the playoffs in 12 years?
Yeah, they have not lost under Sean Payton and Drew Brees in that building in the postseason. Have not done it. And look, to be honest with you, most of the playoff games that they've played in that building with Sean and Drew have been blowouts. It hasn't even been close. So, and I'm not predicting that this week. Look, the spread, Saints and Eagles, 8 points, right? 8.5, depending on the book. I know it opened at 9.5. I wish I'd have got it at 9.5. I certainly would have picked the Eagles to cover. But I just think that in these games like this, in the divisional round, rarely do you see blowouts. And by blowouts in the NFL, I'm talking about, you know, 10 points or more. I think this is going to be a touchdown game.
Christian Garrick, who hosts the pre and post, now no longer doing sidelines, but you can, if you want to listen on the radio.com app or whatever, you can catch him, WWL in New Orleans, our guest. Christian, I'm sure you watched everybody else. Oh my gosh, the Bears lost that game. How are they going to rebound? I've never seen a playoff loss. How quickly we forget. I mean, take us back to a year ago to up in Minnesota. How the Saints, I mean, they went from a team that had to go on the road, lose a devastating game, and now here they're the number one seed. How did this team bounce back after that loss in Minnesota last year?
Yeah, that was a devastating defeat. I mean, that was soul-crushing for the city of New Orleans, and I think for that team for the moment. But I think they used that as a catalyst to say, hey, look, if we want to get another Super Bowl, we have to control things in the NFC, meaning we have to send everybody through the Superdome. And the Saints accomplished that goal. That was something they talked about a lot in the offseason is, hey, if we want to get back to the Super Bowl, our best chance to do so is to host the playoffs, to be the number one seed and force everybody to run through the Superdome. And they've done that. And I think that we just talked about it. They're 5-0 under Sean Payton and Drew Brees in the playoffs in the Superdome. So that was a huge motivating factor for them. And look, at the beginning of the year, when the day one of training camp, Sean Payton put out a big sign, huge sign across almost the entire practice complex. And it said, prove them right. Prove them right. So they started their prove them right campaign because, you know, everybody was predicting and projecting the Saints to be the number one team in the NFC and perhaps even win the Super Bowl. So, so far they've proven everybody right, but they're not done. I mean, I love the tactic that Sean Payton used, which bringing in $200,000 in cash in the Lombardi Trophy and saying, "Hey, you want this? Win 3 more games." And look, let's not kid ourselves. Sure, the players want a Lombardi Trophy, but I can promise you, they're a little bit more focused on the idea that they're going to get 200 large if they do end up winning all 3 of these games.
Christian Garrick is the Saints pre and post game host for the New Orleans Saints on WWL Radio in New Orleans. You mentioned that for 9 years you were the sideline reporter. That's a tough job. That is a tough job. Can you tell me what some of the worst stadiums that you had to work in as a sideline reporter in terms of interaction with the fans and everything, weather, everything that's involved?
Well, yeah. First off, you know, I hate the Coliseum in Oakland. I cannot believe that, and I know it's getting ready to go away anyway, but I could not believe that the league allowed that stadium to host an NFL franchise. In other words, like, it was so tiny. It was so dilapidated. And I mean, the press box was, you were in a closet practically. So that would be one of them. As far as fan interaction, man, I tell you what, the old Candlestick, and that doesn't exist anymore either, but the old Candlestick, those fans out there in San Francisco are brutal. I remember the 2011 divisional game, the Saints and the 49ers. The Saints staged that large, that massive comeback in the second half and ended up, taking the lead and ended up giving it back to the Niners. But I remember being on the field, and they were talking so much trash to me. To me, I don't even have a uniform on. I'm holding a microphone, yeah. and they're throwing beer at me, and I'm saying, why are you wasting a $9 beer on a schlep like me? I mean, I don't even play the game. Why are you mad at me? As far as really good fans, good great venues, obviously the Superdome is my favorite, but, man, they got it going on in Kansas City. Man, they got it going on in Seattle. Look, my first ever road game that I called as a Saints sideline reporter was right there in Buffalo with the Bills. Week two, the Saints went up there in 2009 and took care of the Bills. And I remember that game because Pierre Thomas didn't play the entire first half. He was sick, vomiting in the locker room. They got an IV in him, and he went out and tore it up in the second half. And, of course, we know the 2009 season, Saints went on to win the Super Bowl. That was my first year as a sideline reporter. So, look, I think that now Steve Geller is a sideline reporter. We promoted him, and I joked with him the other day. I was like, look, it's the first year of mojo. And whenever the Saints get a sideline reporter for their first year, they end up making a run to the big game. And I tell you one of the funniest moments, if I got a second. The highlight of my career, whether it's just in radio in general or just as a sideline reporter, when the Saints won the Super Bowl in 2009, actually 2010, February 2010, I dipped under the rope because immediately they drop a rope, right, and hold people out. I dipped under there. I violated my credential, whatever. So I grabbed Carl Nix. You guys remember Carl Nix?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. So I grabbed him and I said, Carl, you're a world champ. Tell me how you feel. This is live on the air. And he says, I know I'm going to expletive Disneyland. and then proceeds to say, I know you can't say that. And I was like, Carl, you just did. Oh, well, I don't even think we dumped it. I think it actually got on the air. We didn't get the 16-second delay. And nobody in New Orleans cared. Nobody was going to report it. But, it was one of those funny moments. I actually archived that sound bite, and I just play it occasionally just for giggles. Obviously, the edited version with the beeps, but that was a funny moment in my career, and I think about it all the time.
Christian Garrick, who hosts the Pre and the Post now for the New Orleans Saints. Christian, one more to throw at you. Here up in Western New York, we're held hostage by Tom Brady. So you can imagine this is always an annual conversation. Is this the end? Maybe this is the end. He's coming back. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. You almost look past that. What if Drew Brees, he's got an opportunity to do something like John Elway and have a walk-off shot? Is there any talk that if this could be it for Brees, should the Saints win it all this year?
Well, there's no talk from Drew about that, I can tell you, despite the media pressing him for those answers. But he's just not wired that way. He's not going to talk about it if he is even contemplating it. But, yes, within our airwaves and certainly around New Orleans, a lot of fans have asked me that, have asked Bobby Hebert that, and Deuce and Zach and all of us. And, the feeling, the consensus amongst our sports team down here is that in all likelihood, that's conceivable to think that if Drew wins another Super Bowl, hey, being a dad is very, very important to him. And he's stressed that. He's talked about that, how he wants to be more involved in his kids' lives. So you can't get a lot of those years back. And it makes a lot of sense because if he wins a Super Bowl, a second Super Bowl, he now has a seat at the table of the conversation of one of the all-time greats, or perhaps the all-time greatest. Now, not saying he is, but it puts him in that conversation. We already know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's a lot. We know that. And by the way, this first ballot stuff, I think we've gotten so hyper about it and super sensitive about it. If we don't call somebody a first ballot Hall of Famer, that doesn't mean they're not a Hall of Famer. It's really weird to me. But nonetheless, it'll cement him as in the conversation of one of the all-time best. So I could certainly see it. Now, if the Saints don't win the Super Bowl, I would be shocked if he retires. I would be stunned.
The Saints are an easy team to root for. I mean, the history of the city, one of the more maybe the most unique city in the United States. The fans are great to watch. The team is fun to watch, and they're so great. I think a lot of people are rooting for the Saints to make it to the Super Bowl, and I'll put myself in that group. And I wish the Saints the best
of
luck.
How about this?
Yeah.
How about this real quick? Look, the Saints fans want this Super Bowl more than they did in 2009, and here's why.
Wow.
Because forever they will be able – my generation could be dead, and the Saints might not ever win a Super Bowl again, but they will still be able to trash talk the Atlanta Falcons fans endlessly for winning a Super Bowl in their building.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, they would troll them. They already trolled them 28-3. But, man, if the Saints win a Super Bowl in the Falcons building, man, I mean, they won't have to do anything. Fans won't care what the Saints do for the next 20, 30 years.
Love this guy.
Yeah, we don't get a sense that, you know, the Atlanta-New Orleans rivalry is, you know, but it is real.
Sure.
And that would be the walk-off shot for certain. Christian, this was a blast. Have fun calling the game. Hopefully you get to the championship round. We really appreciate your time here today.
You bet, guys. Who dat?